And as always, I always pray and I ask the Lord, all right, Lord, give me a word. Show me the word you want to bring forth. And the word that he gave me was to teach on worship. And as I was preparing, the part of me was like, oh man, I would love to teach this on a Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be great if I could have taught this on a Sunday morning? And the only one that knew this was me and the Lord. And within a week after that, Pastor Adam said to me, hey, Dottie, do you want to preach the message on Memorial Day weekend? I'm saying, yes, yes. So the name of my message today is Practicing the Presence of the Lord. And one of the ways we practice the presence of the Lord is through worship. So I get to talk about worship. Yes. So you know what inspired this message is actually, it's a monk that was around in the 17th century. He's called Brother Lawrence. And he wrote a book that has been passed down from generation to generation about practicing the presence of God, that you are keenly aware of him in every part of your day. And you go deeper and deeper into walking with him and knowing him. And that's what inspired me today for this message. But think about practice. What is practice? Anytime you're practicing something, it is intentional. It's something you do over and over and over again until it becomes second nature. So what happens? We practice the presence of the Lord every time we pray. We practice the presence of the Lord every time we praise and worship him. We practice the presence of the Lord every time we hear a message preached, we're in his word, or we meditate on his word. We practice the presence of the Lord every time we are led by the Spirit. Every one of those ways, we are practicing the presence of the Lord. Now, we'll start with prayer. Prayer takes practice. You know, as a new believer, you know, it takes a while of practice till you start to learn how to flow. You know, and a lot of times, a new believer, or even if you've been saved for a while, it's hard to pray out loud with other people because you're intimidated. You hear seasoned Christians praying and, you know, you're just not comfortable. You know, you hear that, and whether it's at a prayer meeting, it's hard to step out. How do I know this? Because it happened to me. Now, when I first came a part of this family, it was 20 years ago. And I would go to the corporate prayer meetings, and it's just like we're doing now. We would have prayer points. They would be up there. The pastor would say, if you feel a leading in your spirit, pray that out. Pray out that point. All right. I get a leading. I'm supposed to pray this point. Well, as I would start to open my mouth, fear would just come. My heart would beat out of my chest so much it would be pounding in my ears. The blood was literally pounding in my ears. I couldn't hear myself think, never mind pray out loud. But I kept coming back and coming back. And little did I know, I was practicing the presence of the Lord, just being there and listening and agreeing, even if I didn't open my mouth. But what would happen is I'd be drawn to a point. The Spirit was leading me there. But I wouldn't do it. I'd get that whole terror thing would happen. Someone else would pray it. Say, I missed it. But I knew I was being taught to hear his voice, even if I hadn't stepped out. But what happened is one day everything changed, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what happened. It rose up out of me and it overtook it. And I opened my mouth and I prayed. But what happened is it came out of me and it was like a roar. It was this roar. It was so intense. And right away I got inhibited again. I'm like, oh, I thought I sounded horrible. And I'm like, everybody else, they sounded eloquent. Listen to me. And again, I went into my shell and ready to just say, I don't know if I'm going to do that again so soon. But I'll say it, tell you, the Spirit of the Lord, the presence of God, we're led by the Spirit. And a woman there was led by the Spirit. She came up to me and she said, you know what? You're a prayer warrior. I heard it in the sound of your voice. God knew I needed to hear it. And he knew the exact words I needed to hear. And he sent my sister in the Lord over to encourage me. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Yeah. So we practice the presence of the Lord. Every time we come to one of those prayer meetings, every time we pray with someone at our connect groups, every time we pray over the phone or with our prayer partner, every time it is practice and every time it'll flow a little easier. But Jesus does warn us also about prayer. And this is what he says in Matthew 6:5. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they pray in the synagogues and on the street corners to be heard by others. For I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So is he saying we shouldn't pray publicly? No. What he's saying is you always have to be careful about pride. And how do I know this? Because that's what happened to me. I mean, I started to get comfortable. I'm like, man, I know how to, you know, pray scriptures. And I'd go away all impressed with myself and my prayers, you know, when I would leave these meetings. And no, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with getting excited as we learn to do things of the Lord. But there's a thin line of when it becomes pride. And the Lord will let you know. And what he did is he showed me that scripture. He said, "Girl, you know, look at this scripture," and that enlightened to me, because you know what the Word of God does? This is what the Word of God, one of the purposes of the Word of God, and it's in Hebrews 4:12. Listen to this. It says, "God's Word, it's alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God used that to show me. He used that to say, "Hey, girl, get over yourself. Get over yourself, or that is going to be your reward." His word will do that every time. It'll show you. But you know what is really cool? You know what the best remedy for pride is? Praise. Praise, because all pride, and it rears itself in many different forms, it can just rise up, but it's always rooted in I. It's always rooted in I. So praise is not rooted in I, because, well, unless you're praising yourself, of course, no, but you're praising the Lord. So as soon as you feel that raising up, you know, just start praising the Lord and thanking him. "Thank you for all you did. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that you are a wonderful, beautiful King." Just let it rise out of you. Praise and thanksgiving is the remedy for pride. Remedy for it. Yeah. And that's the way we have to start our prayer time. We have private prayer time. So when you start your prayer time, always start by praising him and thanking him. And it, like, gets your engine running. You know, and what'll happen is once you get in like that, it becomes a lifestyle. You'll go through the course of the day and all of a sudden praise and thanks will just start bubbling out of you. Does that happen to anybody? You're just walking along and you're starting to thank the Lord. You know, it's a beautiful day, or you're here with your child or hugging your grandchild. And the next thing you know, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." But it starts because it's intentional. We practice the presence of God every time we pray and we thank him. And then in our private time, we come with our requests. This is good. God wants us to come and ask him for things. We have not because we ask not. And yeah, and this is what Philippians 4:6 says. "Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything," he's saying. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," don't forget about the thanksgiving, "present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guard your heart and your mind." Yes, we learn to rely on him. As we practice the presence of God through prayer, we learn to rely on him. We cannot be in the presence of God and remain the same. There is no way, right? We practice the presence of God every time we pray. We practice the presence of God every time we read his word. Every time we hear it being preached. Right now you are practicing the presence of God. You practice the presence of God every time you meditate on his word and study his word. Every time you're in a connect group and you're studying his word, we are practicing his presence. And what is needed is you need a reservoir of prayer, a reservoir of prayer that is in you that will just bubble up out of you, so that when the trials come, when things come in your life, that word is there to get you through. There is a world of difference of having the word of God in your mind and in your heart. A world of difference. There's a world of difference between, it's not just memorizing a verse. It's having a revelation of that verse. It's walking it, it's experiencing it, and then applying it to your life. Like the scripture I just said, be anxious for nothing. During the course of the day, if you know that scripture, you've memorized it, it's not going to do you any good unless you use it. So if you get worried and you're saying, God, what, you know, what's going on here today? God, ask him. Bring all your requests to him. Thank him in advance that he's going to take care of it. Thank him in advance he's going to lead you and show you what to do. Yeah, we practice the presence of God. Yes, every time we read his word. And one of my favorite scriptures is the one I just quoted before. I love this scripture, and that's, I'm going to say it again. And that's in Hebrews 4:12. And this one I have a revelation of, and that's why I'm like, yes, I love this word. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is more than in my mind. It is in my heart. It's something I've experienced. I sit here on a Sunday and Pastor Shino, Pastor Adam preaches, and the word will do that to me. It'll show me things that are not lining up, you know, but I'm not afraid of that. The beauty of it is, it's like, oh no, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to realize just how wretched I am, you know. No, I'm going to go. You know what the difference is? And this is something we all need to know very early in our walk. There is a world of difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation, I learned it as a baby Christian. Condemnation will just fill you with shame. It'll fill you with guilt. That is not from the Lord. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But conviction will realign you. Conviction will expose it. And in the next moment, God will fill you with his unconditional love and direct you. It fills you with hope. It fills you with hope. It'll make you run to Jesus because you know that's where your strength comes from. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You cling to him. Yeah, and you learn through experience as you do. Yeah, you get set free. Jesus is our deliverer. We just sang that. Our deliverer. He's our savior and our deliverer. He will set us free as we look to him. You know who's a great example of someone who has a reservoir of prayer in them? It is our own Joyce. Look at my beautiful Joyce over there with her hat. I love her hats, right? Joyce is a reservoir of prayer. How do I know this? She went through a trial a few years back. She had a bout with cancer. And we used to speak pretty much every day, right? Now, you would think I would be ministering to her. No. She ministered to me because she is a reservoir of prayer, a reservoir of God's word. She would, for all those years of prayer, all those years of knowing the word of God, she would speak it out. She'd speak it to me. She was encouraging herself in the Lord. She would go to the hospital wearing a bright yellow outfit. They were calling her Sunshine. The joy of the Lord was her strength. She was anxious for nothing. She wasn't worried because she trusts the Lord. There was a reservoir of the prayer in her, a reservoir of the word of God in her. And she is now cancer-free. How many years is it now, honey? 4? Wow. That we're going, woo! God is our healer. God is our healer. We're going next Sunday to that luncheon to celebrate. We go every year. So again, we practice the presence of God every time we pray. We practice the presence of God every time we read his word. We practice the presence of God every time we are led by the Spirit of God. The moment we are born again, the Spirit of God comes into us and it speaks to us and will lead us. Another way of saying it is Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." We practice the presence of God every time we are led by the Spirit, every time we hear his voice, and then we are led out and we walk in it. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God." So what does it mean to be led? The word led means to be ruled by, governed by, directed by. So it's more than just hearing it. It's actually doing it. It's an action word. And in other words, like at that prayer meeting, I was listening. I heard the word of God. It was prompting me to pray. I knew it because somebody else would pray it, but I didn't take the action. See, God will take us. If you're being led by the Spirit, he is going to take you out of your comfort zone. There is no doubt about it. He is going to take you out of your comfort zone. He will ask you maybe to step out in a place in ministry where you're saying, I'm not equipped. I don't know if I'm equipped to do this. But God will equip you. He can ask you. The Spirit can lead you to share your faith. The Spirit can lead you to ask somebody to come to church. But that's the Spirit leading. It can even ask you to change jobs. The Spirit can lead you. Or, you know, when the Spirit can lead you, it can say, He'll give you an amount that you are to put in the offering plate. He'll, you know, a specific amount that he will put you in, the, in that he says, put that in there. But it's a matter, not just hearing it, we have to do it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, but they follow me. So hearing it's one thing, the responding is something else. Now that's where it gets murky, it's in the responding. Now, if the Spirit asks you to do something you want to do, man, it's cool. No problem. All right, let me go for it. Yeah, you know, they ask you to do something. You have to remember, though, he's never going to ask you to do something that doesn't line up with his word. That's why it all is linked together. We can't truly hear from it unless we understand God's word and his ways. But if he's asking you to do something you want to do, it's cool. But that's not always the case. He's going to ask you a lot of times to do things you do not want to do. And that's when it, you can sense what's happening. Now, how do I know this? Like I said, again, I've experienced, this is what, I go through my own experiences. So I used to work at cachet. So just picture this, right? I'm on my way to the pool on a day like today. On a day of 0 to 10, it is a 10. My days, I have the day off, I am psyched. I am ready, I got my raft under my arm, I'm ready to go and hang out in the sunshine. The next thing you know, I get a text from one of my coworkers. She's going, listen, I'm not sick. It's just that, you know, could you really cover me today for work? It's not that I'm sick, but I have so much going on in my life. I could use a day. I could just use that day. Now, every part of me is like, no, 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 no. You know, I mean, every part of me is screaming, I don't want to. I want to go to the pool. Every part of me is saying that. So what can happen is you can, in your own mind, you'll say, oh, maybe that's really not the Spirit leading me. Maybe I'm just feeling guilty. You can try to justify it in your own mind. Then again, I hear the voice, but you could be a witness to her. You'll be a witness. So the voice can come again even. Well, at the pool, I'm a witness. I witness to people all the time at the pool. You can. What can happen is your own mind, your own emotions drowns out the Spirit. And what it is, it's your own will rising up in us. Our own will is strong, and you have to learn how to recognize your own will. And the only way to do that is you have to quiet. You got to quiet your mind, you got to quiet your emotions, and you have to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. And say it, even if you don't mean it, say, God, help me to really mean that. Not my will, but yours be done. And then you can hear clearly it's our own will rising up. And you know what that's called? It's called denying ourselves. That's what it is. And Jesus said, this is what he said. He said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. How do we follow him? By denying ourselves, by laying down our will, right? So we practice the presence of God every time we lay down our own will, every time we're obedient to do what the Spirit's leading. And what'll happen is you'll get a peace about it. You'll get a peace, right? And it always lines up with the will of, you know, with God's word also. You know, you'll get confirmation in his word or someone else will give you confirmation. There's many ways, but there's a way that the Spirit stops you. It's a check. It's like a no. And it's in your spirit. It's not in your head. You've not rationalized it. It's not in your emotions. It's learning. It's learning how to be led by the Spirit. And it says that we have that right. It's beautiful. It tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So what is the word sons? The word sons in the Greek means mature. So what that's saying is, as we practice, maturity comes through practice. Somebody could be 5 years into the Lord and be more mature than somebody 20, right? It depends on how much they've practiced every one of these things. So being led by the Spirit takes practice, and it takes laying down our, what is it? Our denying, our will. Recognizing it. You got to recognize it. The Lord will let you know. If you look to him and say, show me, Lord, he will. He will. Now the last part is worship. I get to talk about worship. You know, one of the ways that we practice the presence of God, and I spoke to the ladies about this, is through worship. God is calling a people to himself that are passionately in love with him, that love him in a manner that, what did you say, Pastor Shino? Radical. It's radical love. He loves us in a radical way, enough to die for us. And he is calling us to love him passionately, radically, with every part of us. And you know how I know that? Because when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of them all? What did he say? You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Notice he didn't say, you are to follow all the rules. You are to be obedient. That is the first commandment. No, he didn't say that. But what he did say is, those who love me will obey me. Those who love me will obey me. As we develop, if we're in his presence, our love for him will grow. Yeah, and obedience follows. Love is a catalyst. Obedience is a catalyst to that love relationship that we have with the Lord. You see how it's all linked together. So worship is something our whole lives we offer to him in worship, and everything we do when we give of our tithes, everything we do is an act of worship. But I'd want to talk about a specific time of worship that we just did right now when we came together as a church and during our private times. So what is it? It's a time of thanking him. It's a time of praising him. It's a time of telling him he is worthy and showing him honor. That's what it is. It's a specific time, and it's a time of giving him your undivided attention. That's what it's about. It's a two-way communication. You lift him up, you praise him, and he comes and he reveals who he is to you. He shows you his love. He communicates his love to you. You get glimpses of just how magnificent he is. You've read about it in the Word. The Word of God has told you who he is, has told you about his character. And then as you worship him, it becomes even more of a reality. That is what worship is. Jesus told us very clearly what worship is. And he says this in John 4, 23 and 24. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. For God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. At the moment of salvation, at the moment that you're born again, the Spirit of God comes into you. And God is a spirit, and we worship him from the Spirit. And it's the Word of God that reveals. We can't worship somebody we don't know. It's the Word of God reveals to us who God is, who his character is, what he's made of. It's those two things together. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Yes, spirit and in truth. It's all linked together. Every way we practice the presence of God folds into the other. Now, what gets distracted? It's the soul. Same thing as being led by the Spirit. It's the soul that gets distracted. Now, our soul is made up of our mind, our will, that will of ours, right? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our minds, during worship, what can happen? Our minds can start to wander. It can go in all different directions. I mean, you could even, maybe you had a fight with your husband on the way in, or you're going over that. You have to know, we can't go into his presence unless we know we're worthy, you know, and we are worthy. So if guilt or something gets in the way, you just repent, you look to the Lord, and you cling to him. You let him love on you. But you have to reel yourself in. Because as humans, we are so easily distracted. So if you find yourself looking around the room, just say no. Pull yourself in and focus on the Lord. Again, this is a time we're giving him our undivided attention, right? Undivided attention. That's what it's about. Yeah. And it's more than the music. We all have different tastes in music. It's more than just the music. It's the words. You are literally saying those words to him. You have to come here expecting to have an intimate encounter with him, and you're speaking those words to him. There's a longing in your heart because you've experienced it before, or if you never have, you want it. And God responds to that, but you must speak it out. So when you say, like the song that we sang, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. You are focused. You're seeing him. You're saying those things to him. Yeah. And when you say, there's no place I'd rather be than in your love, you're crying out your mind, your will, your emotions. I want to experience you. Communication in worship. He pours his love into us, gives us glimpses of how magnificent he is. But it takes focus. It takes pressing in. You have to, everything else. If you have to close your eyes, close your eyes. But this is a time, undivided attention. Just keep remembering that when you come here on a Sunday, undivided attention to honor my God, to praise him, to lift him up. Lift him up, lift him high. Yes, undivided attention. Now singing, sometimes that can be get in the way, you know? Some of us, we're not comfortable singing. You know, we feel like we're off key. Personally, it's never stopped me, you know, but that can get in the way if you're not comfortable, you know? So that's why sometimes people don't sing. But what you can do is try to sing softly. Just sing the words softly. And even if that you're not comfortable with that, you just speak those words. That is just as powerful. You are saying those words to him. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Just say them, undivided attention, opening our mouth, speaking to him, praising him. Or you're proclaiming who he is like we did today. Mighty deliverer, savior, beautiful king, holy and worthy. I want more. I adore you. Yeah. You're saying those words to him. And you can just speak them. You know, you don't have to sing them, although you can, right? The important thing is you are fully engaged. That's what it's at. Worship is a time you are fully engaged. Same thing with as when the word's being preached. You reel yourself in if you start going into another direction. Fully engaged. Yeah. You know who I love, who's one of the ones I love in the Bible, is King David. Now, King David was a manly man. He was a man's man. He was a warrior, and he was also a worshiper. So I want you to listen to the heart of this man. Psalm 63, 1 through 4, it says, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, I will praise you. I will praise you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to you. Yeah, yeah. That's David. That's a warrior. Listen to his heart of love for God. Now, we're all wired different. You know, in case you haven't noticed, I'm a bit of an extrovert. So needless to say, I am going to be expressive in my form of worship. Now, my husband is different. My husband, that's why he put us together. We complement each other. You know, so I'll be up all over the place. And I'll look over, and my husband is there. And you know what I'll see? The glistening of a tear in his eye. Now, neither one is the right way. Both are pleasing to God. And you don't even have to cry. It isn't even about that. It's the heart. It's the heart that's connecting. It's the words that you're speaking to him. It's an intimate moment that we all can go to with him. Like we're all different. But however, body language is important. It's important because our bodies and our soul, it's all connected, this whole thing, the whole unit, right? So, you know, have you ever seen when your hands are in like this, when your arms are in crossed? Now, you might be hanging like that when you're standing because it's comfortable, but it really is more being closed off, you know, because there's a difference between here and being like this, right? Now, I want you to stand for a minute with me. Stand up, kids. For a minute, you're going to think you're in the Catholic Church. Up, down, up, down. All right. So we want to try a little bit of the body language thing, all right? We just sang that song, I Want More of You, God. I want you to cross your arms in front of you, and I want you to say, I want more of you, God. Now put your hands down, palms up. I want more of you, God. A little bit higher, a little bit. I want more of you, God. Yes. Now the word, stay right there, don't sit. Now the word of God speaks and says it is God's word that we are to lift up our hands. That's the word of God. Listen to what it says in Psalms 134:2. Lift up holy hands in the sanctuary as an act of surrender. Good. I love those arms way up. You know what it is? Tell me. I'll tell you what it is. There is no parent. There is no father. There is no mother. There is no aunt. There is no uncle their heart doesn't melt when they see their child, that little one going, pick me up. I want to be close to you. And that's what we're doing. We're lifting our arms. We're honoring him, yes, but we're saying, pick me up. Yes. Wow. So let's try it with one hand. Just that's the Pastor Adam approach. All right, try the one hand approach. Get that one hand up there. I want more of you, God. Yes. Now, both of them, lift them up. Lift them high. I want more of you, God. Yes. Undivided attention, crying out for him. Yeah. Wow. So now we're going to put into practice, just for a couple of minutes, just what we learned. And we're going to sing that song again. And remember what it is. It's giving God your undivided attention. Right? It's speaking it out to him. If you don't want to sing, just say the words. Just say the words, you know? Or sing softly. And body language, wherever you're comfortable. You just start to open up. Right? Open up. Remember, body language is important.